Okay, I want to share with you a chapter from this fantastic, fantastic sefer called Das Konisa. This is hot off the press. Das Konisa. We already used it already once before. Written by Harav Yitzhak Zalman Gibbs. Harav Yitzhak Zalman Gibbs appears to have a yeshiva. He has a kollel yeshiva in Borough Park. And obviously he's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham, and he has printed over here a fantastic sefer. It's really three volumes on halachic inyanim relating to the Parshas HaShavua. He has here a number of chapters on Parshas Shlach, and the chapter we want to discuss now is a chapter called Gardumei Mitzvah. What is Gardumei Mitzvah? We all know the very unique halacha that when it comes to a talis katan, if one of your tzitzis is cut, you have eight strings hanging at the bottom, the very, very bottom, one of them is cut, what happens? What's the halacha? It's kosher. It's kosher. As long as it's kosher. What happens if two are cut? It depends if it's on the two different ends. If three are cut, unless you know for sure to can match them up, they're all not part of the same chut, then you got a problem. If you have a simon, don't make simonim to know that they're three different chutim, then even three theoretically would be okay. But if it's three and it's less than the shear of 12 fingers, okay, you take your fingers, you make 12 thumbs, then if three of your chutim are cut and you've got a problem, then the tzitzis, we have to be chayish, are pasul. If two are cut and they're on the same side, on the same side, it's good. On two different sides, same side, it's good. But if they're on two different sides, you also have a chashash. What? All the way to the tip. All the way to the tip. Because you have the other one, the other side is kedayaniva. All the way down to the very bottom is kasha. But you have to have kids. Okay, I don't want to go through the details because it'll take a whole shit. Let's go through the details. Let's not go through that. Every time. The point I want to make over here is, what happens? Simple question. What happens if you make the tzitzis? Okay, you're doing it, you're not paying attention. Then when you finish doing it, you realize, oh, wait a minute, I messed up. And one of the tzitzis of the eighth string is less than the shear of 12 thoughts. It's puzzle. It is 100% puzzle. Yes, it is. If you make tzitzis, and the tzitzis l'chatchila must start out being kosher. You have to have eight strings. Eight strings, each one of the eight strings has to be 12 thumbs. If it's not 12 thumbs, it's puzzle. Finished. Nothing to talk about. If after it's kosher, now one of the strings gets cut, okay, that's called gardumei mitzvahs. Gardumei means leftovers. A stub. A stub. So it means literally a stub of a mitzvah. Which means there's a connotation. It started out good, and now something went wrong. Just stay the course. It's kosher. Even l'chatchila, but it's kosher. It's kosher. By the way, there's a very interesting hakir. He brings it up here. That's what is one of the uniqueness about the sefer. He brings it. It's very interesting. But it's halachas. There are opinions. Those are of the opinion that the only time if you have a pair of tzitzis and one of the chutim gets cut, it's kosher, is only if it got cut due to you wearing the tzitzis. It got worn out. In other words, I'm wearing the tzitzis. As I'm wearing the tzitzis, somehow as part of wearing it gets caught in the chair. Even that's not so simple. But let's say it's on the table, it's the talus bag. I close the zipper on my talus bag, and the tzitzis are hanging out, and I close the zipper, and I cause the chut to be cut. No. Then the tzitzis are pasul. The only time you say gardumei mitzvahs is kosher, is in when it was diminished from its original state due to the tashmish of the mitzvah.
If you don't know, you have to be machna.
Bottom line, he says, we've never heard of this chumrah. Halacha l'mayis, it's kosher. Halacha l'mayis, he says, this is a chiddush. He brings down his five, maybe Rabbi Kiva Eger says, or Chassam Sofer says this. He says, it's a chiddush. It makes sense. It has to be due to the tashmish of the mitzvah. But if it happens because of external reasons, okay, just somehow the zipper caused it to get cut, it's possible. Okay, so now this theme is a very fascinating concept called Gardu Mitzvos. There are some areas of halacha that we apply this principle, and there are areas of halacha where we do not apply this principle. Let me give you some examples where we apply this principle. Very, very, boirei pri hagofen. Okay, this even applies on Pesach night. Pesach, this is the child. Let's talk about if you make, you have a koshel bracha. A koshel bracha, let's say for birchas hamazon or for any time you're required to have a kiddush. Kiddush, you're supposed to have for kiddush a revius. You start off by kiddush. It's can happen. It can happen. You came Friday night to make kiddush, and we need some wine. We only have a small amount of wine left. We forgot to buy new grape juice. Forgot to buy, put in the order. We went shopping, Glatmart, Moishes, Pomegranate, wherever you go. You forgot to buy some grape juice for Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we have some leftover grape juice from last week, and look at that, it's exactly the size of a revius. So you pour your last grape juice into the cup. It's exactly the size of a revius. It's 3 ounces in a small little cup. And you make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Boirei Pri Hagofen. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Ratzovanu. And all of a sudden, someone comes in the door, and you get startled, and the whole thing spills on the ground. So I didn't yet finish the kiddush. I didn't yet drink it. Am I yoytzin mikiddush? Is it going to be now kiddush b'makom suda? So halacha, it's perish halacha. Kosher. Since when you made the borei pri hagofen, and there was a revius, and you now they're making now yoytzin kiddush, unless you have a revius. But since when you made the Borei Pri Hagofen, there was a revius, and only after you finished the Borei Pri Hagofen, the Yayin spilled out, this is one of the examples of Gardume Mitzvahs. You started out with a mitzvah, it was a complete shi'ur, and now it was diminished, it's okay. Gardume Mitzvahs. What? Doesn't matter. Since when you made the Borei Pri Hagofen, you had in front of you the revius of Yayin, drinking is a lechatchil. If you don't drink the whole thing, with the b'diavad, you also yoytze kiddush. You're supposed to drink a revius lechatchil, no question about it. But you yoytze kiddush and makom suda. As long as you're going to later eat a meal, you yoytze kiddush and makom suda. If you even drink a mashu b'diavad. But the shaila over here is, but I have to make at least the kiddush has to be made on the revius of yayin. So here, as long as the borei pri hagofen was made on revius yayin, now it's spilled out. It's called gardume mitzvos, the stub of a mitzvah yoytze. Let's give another example. What? Excellent. Esrog, Choser. Most Rishonim learn. We know that the first day it must be Lochem, must be Sholem. The Pitim is missing. It's not a Kosher Esrog. On the second day, Choser is Kosher. Why is Choser Kosher on the second day Sukkis? It's Gardume. Since yesterday there was a Pitim, and yesterday it was Sholem, and now it's not. Now someone took a bite out of my Esrog, or the Pitim fell out of the Esrog. It's okay. Levi Nafkamina. If the esrog wasn't kosher to begin with, you can't use it the second day. You go to a meicher dalad minim. It's missing the pitim. So it's good. So it's good for the second day. I'll sell it to you. I'll give you a 30% discount because just don't use it the first day. The first day anyway going away. So use some different one. You need it for the second. It's kosher. No, it's not.
Beautiful esrog.
If it's not kosher the first day. If it's not kosher the first day, it's not kosher the second day. Because the lumdus of a choser is kosher on the other days is mishum the lumdus of gardume mitzvahs. It must be called sholem lechatchila in the beginning. It's chal upon a din mitzvah. And then if it's diminished, it's going to be kosher the remaining days mishum gardume mitzvah. Now that's
the first day.
What?
Say the bracha the first day, get ready, and then you.
Oh, so you want to say that you should say Gardume even on the first day. They don't say that. So good kasha. Yeah, it's a good kasha. Why don't you say Gardume even on the first day itself? I don't know the answer. I know it's a very good kasha. Why don't we say that? He says over here, the din of Esrug, he says is Mishum Gardume Mitzvahs. It doesn't work. The other days it does not work. I don't know why. Okay, now let's go. Oh.
Arav is the second day.
Arav is the second day. Do you say Gardume? I don't know the answer. Could be it's different. I don't know the answer. I don't know how it works. I don't know. All right, now let me point out. Here's one of some alumnus. Okay. So this is a very, very fascinating topic in halacha. This is one of the classic examples. I'll give you. We had through one more, which is classic, which is really the makar of the Gardume mitzvah. And that is which we don't know again, halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, and that is an ezoiv of an agudas ezoiv. When the kohen would sprinkle, not allowed of the kohen, the paraduma water on a person on day 3 and day 7, you have to sprinkle upon him with an agudas ezoiv. Also, a mitzora has an agudas ezoiv that has to be sprinkling. And what an agudas ezoiv, the Gemara says, must have at least 3 givoilim, 3 stalks. And each stalk has to have a certain shear, maybe it's a tefach, has to have a certain shear. What happens if you start to sprinkle upon the person with an aguda, which has the 3 stalks, and then after you do one application, it's diminished, it's pachos mikashir, it's okay. As long as you start out with a proper aguda, a bundle, of ezoif, of 3 stalks, which each one has the proper shear, even if the shear is diminished over time, it's still called an agudas ezoif because of the principle of gardume mitzvah. So far we've given really 4 examples.
What about the bracha on the second day?
You can make a bracha on a chos on the second day, on a luv and eshug.
Because
gardume mitzvah, yes. Chaser is kosher on the second day. Okay, so far we have introduced, with Rabbi Yisrael, there's 4 different examples of this fascinating principle called Kardumi Mitzvos. One is Tzitzis, one is the Agudas Ezoif. Every time you have to dip Ezoif in blood, oil, and water, whatever it is, to sprinkle upon a Mitzvah, upon a person who's Tamei, and you have to have a shear of an Aguda. The 3rd example was the game of Koshel Yayin, and the 4th example was the Lulav and Esher, that is Choser. Problem. The problem is that the vast majority of mitzvahs, we do not apply the principle called gardume mitzvahs. Mikvah. You have a kosher mikvah. 40 saw. Exactly 40 saw. Person goes into the mikvah and he's tevel in the mikvah. And then as he comes out of the mikvah, he takes with him some of the water. He takes with him, he's wet, so he takes away. Now there's only 39.9. Man number 2 walks into the mikvah. Is he yoytze? Is he tahar? Absolutely not. Why don't we say gardume mitzvahs? Since it started as a kosher mikvah, it should remain a kosher mikvah. It started at a sukkah. A sukkah needs the shear of 7 and the mashu tvachim by 7 tvachim. What happens if it starts at a kosher sukkah, it's 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, and now somehow it shrinks. It's cold, so the walls shrink, and it's less than 7 tvachim. Is it kosher? No! It's not kosher. Why don't we say gedim mitzvah? What about ritzuos? The Takas tell me when we want to say this. You have a ritzua. This is a very common shaila. People want to say this. You have a ritzua, and the ritzua has to be the size of a barley corn, and whatever it is, an inch, whatever it is. And then due to wear and tear, when you tighten the knot, the area where you tighten the knot is less than the minimum shear. So you could apply the principle, since it started out as being the proper shear, now it's less than the shear, we should apply the principle gardume mitzvah. It's a stub of the mitzvah, it should be kosher. Lulav requires a shear. Now the lulav gets shorter, then it's neser. We don't apply. A shofar has to be a tefach. The shofar is cut, it cracks, a piece cracks off, it's less than a tefach. We don't apply the principle of gardume mitzvah to the vast majority of mitzvahs. So the question is, why? What is the longest to understand the rule when we apply it and when we do not apply it?
What is the criteria?
So here he has 3 mahalchim, 3 very beautiful mahalchim. In the process, it really gives you more of an appreciation of what exactly is the mitzvah, of tzitzis. And the first mahalch is a dik in Rashi, analyzed by Rabbi Chon Wasserman, Hashem Yikam Damai. Rabbi Chon Wasserman explains as follows. Gidume mitzvah applies only to something which has a shear, but only applies something which has a shear where the shear is something external to the mitzvah. Now, what does that mean? So this is how he explains it. An agudas ezoif. What does the Torah demand? The Torah demands an aguda. It demands a bundle. It just so happens to be, in order to constitute, to make something into an aguda, you have a fly, which likes me very much.
Just hit it. Once you disturb the flying pattern, he's
It's a Gilgal. It's a Gilgal from my previous shir. It's coming to the tshuva. He wants to listen. He's rubbing his hands like this. Very interesting. Okay. So what is Rabbi Chanan Wasserman? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says as follows. He says that we have an aguda. There's a din halacha. You need an aguda. It happens to be that an aguda needs a shear. Once we establish that it has a shear, it triggers. This is now an aguda. So when you look at this bundle, is this called an aguda? Yes, it is. What happens if the shear is diminished? It doesn't matter. Once you have activated the aguda remains an aguda regardless if the shear has been diminished. Now let's talk about tzitzis. This is the beautiful lumness of tzitzis. Tzitzis is a garment that has four corners. When you wear a garment, if the garment would speak, would be able to speak, would say, I am a cheftza de isura. I am an object which is forbidden to wear because I have four corners and I do not have on my four corners tzitzis. When you put on four tzitzis, you have now exempted the garment. The four tzitzis create in the garment a chalois, what he calls a pitur. It's no longer obligated in tzitzis. The tzitzis, the shi'ur of the tzitzis, just a hechatimsa, to remove from the garment the chalois issa. You're not allowed to put this garment on your body because it has four corners, does not have tzitzis. Now that I've put on the tzitzis, we don't look at the tzitzis, we look at the garment. The tzitzis have now made the garment into an object which is potter, which is exempt from bringing upon it requiring tzitzis. If the tzitzis now become pachos mishir, who cares? When it becomes less than the shear of the tzitzis, it doesn't matter because the garment, you never took away from the garment. The garments, the petura on the garment remains firm. In contrast to what? Let's say a lulav. A lulav in Esther, there's no din. The essence of the lulav is the shear. If the lulav has the shear, then the lulav is a kosher lulav. If the lulav does not have the shear, it's not a kosher lulav. A mikvah. If the mikvah has the shear, it's a kosher mikvah. If the mikvah does not have the shear, it's not a kosher mikvah. If a shofar has the shear, it's called a shofar. If a shofar does not have a shear of a tefach, it's not a shofar. Tzitzis and a beged are two separate things. The tzitzis are coming to exempt the beged from a problem. The beged has a problem. It has four corners. You're not allowed to wear it. Now that I put on tzitzis, now the beged is potter. It's not a problem anymore. I could put on the beged. Now you're going to tell me there's a problem with the tzitzis? That is where we apply garadume mitzvah. Since the tzitzis triggered in something else a pitur, that pitur never goes away even if the tzitzis have been reduced from what it started at. To a limit, of course. Because of the tzitzis, then it's not tzitzis. But we allow the tzitzis to remain in force even though they have been diminished. It doesn't matter. Even if it's chayvas gavra, you cannot take away from the fact that there's also chayvas chefsa. There are two parts, the two aspects of the tzitzis. Chayvas gavra, there's also the beged itself. So the basic yisoid is, when you look at a pair of tzitzis, it's a very fascinating way to look at tzitzis. Being that there is a principle called gardume mitzvahs in tzitzis, it's not just the tzitzis. The tzitzis is just a hechatimsa to exempt the garment from it being an object which may not be put upon your body. Now that the tzitzis have accomplished that mission, we can now trigger this principle called gardume mitzvos. Even if the tzitzis have been reduced to some degree, it's okay. Because the shear of the tzitzis is not a shear in and of itself. It's only here to help out something else. And once it is given over to something else, it's chalois, that you are now okay, you remain okay. You remain okay for a good. There was another example. Another example was and the agudas ezav. The same. The agudas ezav. It's not the shear of the gevurim. It's not a shear in and of itself. It's in order to create a chalois. This is now called an aguda. So, what you're going to tell me that all of the dynamics, all of the basic building blocks to make this into an aguda are no longer here? So what? It accomplished its mission. It's an aguda. As long as there's something still left, it's still called an aguda. It's kasha. The yayin. When it comes to the wine, when you made the borei pri hagofen on the yayin, so the yayin is it's the sheer. He's saying along this that the yayin, the revius of yayin, is not a revius. It has to be a the sheer. You have now a volume of yayin. You have in front of you yayin, which now allows you to make kiddush. The sheer revius is not a sheer in and of itself. The sheer revius is to create. You now have in front of you yayin, wine. You have a davar choshev in front of you, upon which you can be mekayim the mitzvah of kiddush. Something along those lines. I mean, it's a little weak.
It's a little bit of a stretch here.
How would you say with a mikvah 39
saw?
How would you say?
A mikvah is not. It's not a chalois. A mikvah is either 40 saw. It's not 40 saw. There are no two parts. And Rav Chana is saying when you have two parts. Basically, we're saying when you have two parts, that's where you say garmudin. When you have one part, you don't say garmudin. This is the mahalach of Rav Chana Wasim and Rashi. Second mahalach comes from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is very different. He learns that there's a fundamental difference between tzitzis and, let's say, sukkah and tzitzis and lulav. Tzitzis, when you make the tzitzis, you must make it lishma. That is a halach in Shulchan Aruch. When you put the tzitzis on the beged, if you don't say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, then when you put it on your body, you're not making the mitzvah, you're not doing it correctly. So it's already chal upon the tzitzis or shein mitzvah before you mekayim the mitzvah. Lulav in esrog, a lulav is nothing. It is absolutely nothing. An esrog is nothing. It's just a fruit. A sukkah is just four walls and schach. It's nothing. You mekayim the mitzvah, the object gets sanctity at the very same moment when you mekayim the mitzvah. And when you finish the mitzvah, the object is desanctified. There's no hachonah. There's no preparation. Tzitzis have to be made l'shma. At vekachrein or even niputz, even spinning this thread should be done l'shma. When you put it on the garment, you have to say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Tcheles has to be made l'shem tcheles, l'shem mitzvah. Everything has to be made. So it's already chal upon the object, a cheftza de mitzvah, even before you mekayim the mitzvah.
Arguing about tzitzis because by sukkah. Look at chil, you should make a shechion ha'oisa sukkah.
But it's still not the same sanctity. It does not. You're saying a good point. You're saying you're making a good point. Why should? Because you should make it do lechatzil l'shem mitzvah sukkah. But it's still not in the category of tzitzis, where tzitz actually has a degree of sanctity. So there where something has a degree of sanctity, there you apply the principle of gardume mitzvahs. Third mahalich, he presents from the Or Sameach. And the difference is it when the mitzvah comes to you, is it sequential or is it bevas achas? So let's compare tzitzis to lulav and eshrog. When the morning of the 15th day arrives, it's the 15th day of Sukkot, of Tishrei, when it's Alois HaShachar, there is an obligation upon every single member of Klal Yisrael to take the Dalet Mina. There's no one that's different. Everyone. The mitzvah, the obligation is on every single person. This is the same obligation, and it's chal upon every individual at exactly the same point in time. Therefore, if I'm going to take that little vinesher that's lacking, that's not the same size, even though it may have started off as being the proper size, it's not going to help me. Because when the day began, it was my obligation, and if this and at that time it had to be complete, and if it's not complete, then it's not going to help me. Even though in the beginning of the day it was complete for him, but it's not complete for me. Only if there's contrast, it will become clear. When it comes to tzitzis, there's no mitzvah for me now, at this moment in time, to put on tzitzis. In fact, I don't even have to wear tzitzis altogether. If you don't want to wear tzitzis, so be it. if you want to put on a garment that has four corners, you have. So the mitzvah is first triggered at the time when you come in contact with the mitzvah and you want to do the mitzvah. So if this fellow came in contact with the talus at 9 o'clock in the morning and he put on the talus, and when he put on the talus, it was complete. And then at some point in that, in him being kind of the mitzvah, one of the chutim was snapped, was cut off. Okay. Now when I, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, want to take that very same talus and make a bracha and put that talus upon me, it's fine. Because the mitzvah is now coming to me at a later point in time. And since this was already established to be a chefsa, the mitzvah, it was a kosher mitzvah for Reuven, and when he did it, it was complete. Now when the mitzvah comes to me at a later point in time, I can apply the principle of garadume mitzvos. But that's only when it comes to a talis, because a talis, it was not my mitzvah when it was your mitzvah. Therefore, you had the ability to establish this as being complete. You've given it sanctity, and even though now later in the day something goes wrong and a chut is snapped, it will not take away from the fact that this is still called a davar shalem, as far as I'm concerned, who comes on the scene at a later point in time. But all other mitzvos, the vast majority of mitzvos, there's no difference between me and you. You have an obligation to take a little v'nesher. I have an obligation to take a little v'nesher. When did my obligation begin? At exactly the same time as you. You got lucky and you took it when the lulav and esher was complete, and I only got the lulav and esher when the lulav already was diminished. So that doesn't make a difference. I had an obligation, 6 o'clock in the morning, to take a lulav and esher that was complete. You can't go tell them because you used it, you created within the lulav and esher an object that is complete, and now I can continue using it even though it has been diminished. Because our obligation is all exactly the same. You are no better than me. Gardume mitzvos only applies to situations where it's sequential, where I can come on the scene at a later point in time than you. You have to go through all these different examples of how it works out and all different examples. These are the basic, these are the yesoidas. It's very beautiful. Three basic yesoidas in the principle called gardume mitzvos. We have four examples for you. We have four examples. Tzitzis, the case of the Ezeif, the case of Kiddush, Yayin, the Bari Priya Gofen, and the case of Lulav and Eshok when it's Chaser starting from day two and onward. Those are four examples where Chazal used the principle called Gardume Mitzvahs. On almost every other mitzvah, there's no such thing. Lulav and Eshok, which is a shear, Shav, which is a shear, a Sukkah, which is a shear, Gong and Mikra, which is a shear. There we don't apply these principles. What is the difference? Three basic mahalchim, the lumdis of three mahalchim. Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, based upon a Rashi, and it's the Yesodis, is it a two-step process? The tzitzis create a pitur in the garment. The shear of the ezoif, of the gevolim of the stalks creates a chalois ezoif. When it's a two-step process, that's where you apply the principle of Garadume mitzvahs. Every other thing, there's no two-step. It's a one-shot deal. You take the lulav and esher, that's when you do the mitzvah. Memeil, there's no gedum mitzvahs. Yesod number two, the chasam sofer, is the object have kiddusha inherently of being a chefsa de mitzvah. When it comes to tzitzis, it surely does. You, when you put the tzitzis on the garment before you mekayim the mitzvah, it has to be b'din l'shma. When you have a chefsa de mitzvah, even the Ezoi that appears, he holds the chefs of the mitzvah. Well, I take it back. He explains this. That's different. He explains that. Not for now. But the chefs of the mitzvah is garadume mitzvah. L'may nafkamina, very big nafkamina comes to the ritzuos. Because according to the Chasam Sofer, the ritzuos, you would be able to apply the principle of garadume mitzvahs. Because the ritzuah of your tefillin is a chefs of the mitzvah. But according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, no such thing. The ritzuah is not a hechsher for something else. There's no din that the ritzuah is a din by itself. So you would not be able to apply the din of the gedim mitzvah when it comes to the ritzuah of tefillin. And the third mahalech of the Or Sameach, and that is, if the mitzvah that comes to you is sequential, when it came to you first, and then it came to me, then since it came to you and when you did it bishlei musoi in its complete form, you've upgraded it to an object which is complete, even if it will subsequently become diminished with regard to me, who comes, enters the picture at a later point in time. But when you're dealing with a mitzvah, even though it's coming to me practically at a later point in time, but since in halacha the requirement came to me at the same time, the same way you can't start off with the talus for the very first time that's less than the size, so too when it comes to if the obligation came upon me at the same point in time, it has to be complete, and even though you did it and it was complete by you and now it's less than complete, it's not going to make a difference, it's going to be possible. Alright, so this is the whole first day is
the whole first day.